The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. Now it happened, as Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Luke says he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. In the last century, thank you notes were an art form. Every once in a while, you'll still receive one. I appreciate the fact that our children are teaching their children to write thank you notes. And every once in a while, when it's a birthday or an anniversary or Christmas, we'll get a thank you note addressed to Granny and Pappy, giving thanks for some particular gift. I read something several years ago, and I've copied it down to share with you this morning. Someone here in the South gave proper directions on how to write thank you notes. I've looked, I've searched Google, I can't find out who wrote it. I'd give them the credit. It's an incredible quote about giving thanks, and I want to share that with you this morning. In regard to thank you notes, it is best to recognize a gift with an immediate note of thanks. Unlike arriving at a party, there's no such thing as being fashionably late with thank you notes. Thank you notes should be sent quickly and should smell of sincerity. Of course, there are a few don'ts in regard to thank you notes. Do not use a form written correspondence. One uniform thank you for every giver. This has become quite fashionable in Atlanta and Nashville. But considering that each has prostituted its southern heritage, this is not entirely unexpected. A form thank you note will not do the trick in Vicksburg, Mobile, or Memphis. Further, be mindful not to show partiality, ingratitude, or enthusiasm when writing your notes. Many of your guests will be from the same family, and it is highly likely, I would imagine probable, that the thank you notes will be shared and compared over the phone or over a cocktail. Well, there you go, some advice for writing thank you notes. Now, in the passage we study this morning, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. You know that he's on his way to the cross. It will not be very long until he is crucified, dies for our sins, and is raised by God again from the grave. But now on his way, 10 men approach him. They hear that Jesus is coming. They come and they don't get up close because they're lepers, and they're not allowed to get close to people who are not afflicted with the same disease as they. They get as close as they can, as close as they dare, and they cry out, getting his attention, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, Jesus doesn't touch them, doesn't offer a prayer over them, simply tells them, "Go to the priest and show yourself to the priests." And as they're walking towards wherever the synagogue is, wherever the temple is, they begin to notice their hands. And where once they were gnarled with the disease of leprosy, maybe parts missing because of that horrible disease, they notice they're well, they're whole, they're healed. They look at each other. The blemishes that were on faces are gone. The crippling disease isn't there anymore. And for the first time in who knows how long, these men can go home. They can go to the synagogue. They can go to the priest. They can go to their families. And one of them stops, turns around, and comes back, and falls at Jesus' feet to say thank you. Just one. And Jesus looks at this man and says, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the other 9? And only this foreigner, this Samaritan, has returned to give thanks to God." I take it from the fact that Jesus singles out and says, "Only this foreigner has returned," that the other 9 were Jews. Where are they? And if there's a proper etiquette for sending thank you notes to a host or a hostess, to your guest or to your benefactor, should there not be a certain etiquette, a certain proper way to follow, to be thankful to God and to express our thanks to God? Now, that writer that I read from just a moment ago emphasized some don'ts. So let's consider some don'ts, first of all, this morning. Thankful people don't complain. Sometimes things aren't as we would want them to be, and we don't feel at our best, and we complain at what we have. And just as God hears our prayers, He hears our complaints. He knows when we're counting our blessings, and He knows when we're envious of our neighbor's blessings. And if we complain about our health and our possessions and our families and our jobs, we're really complaining about God's provisions. And I thought, reading that passage a moment ago, that article, how would I feel if I happened to overhear one of our children complaining to their friends? And we're going back now because our babies are 45 years old, so we've got to go back a little ways. Heard one of them complaining to their school friends that they don't have this and they don't have that. And as their parents, we have worked hard to give them the very best. How would I feel? People who are truly grateful don't complain. They find a reason to be grateful. A saint of days gone by, a clergyman of days gone by, Matthew Henry, famous for writing a Bible commentary, very good Bible commentary, was robbed one day. Was set upon by thieves, and they took everything he had. Took his Bible. Took the horse he was riding. left him only his clothes, took everything else. And he wrote in his diary about the event, and he said, "I'm thankful that during these years, I've never been robbed before. And I'm thankful that even though they took my money, they did not take my life. And I'm thankful that even though they took all I had, they didn't get much. And finally, I'm grateful that I was the one who was robbed, not the one who was doing the robbing." Every reason to complain, but still thankful. And I heard of a Sunday school teacher who, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, like we are this morning, looked at her young students at her class and said, "Would you share something that you're thankful for?" And one little boy's hand shot up and he said, "I'm thankful that I wear glasses." And the teacher thought that kind of strange, because boys of a certain age don't like to wear glasses. They only do it if they have to. And she said, "Well, why are you thankful that you wear glasses?" And he said, "Well, teacher, I'm thankful I wear glasses because the older boys won't pick a fight with me, and the girls don't try to kiss me." What an attitude to have, to see all things as a blessing and a benefit. Thankful people, secondly, don't hoard. I have noticed that when we give, when we share, we're the happiest. When we're hoarding and gathering, we can find all reasons to complain and to be unhappy. But show me a generous person, I'll show you a grateful person. You know, it's odd, but the more we hold things, the less thankful we are. And the more we give away, the more we find reasons to give thanks. And thirdly, thankful people don't forget. By nature, we are forgetful people, looking backwards, not forwards. Ask us what we want and we can tell you. Ask us why we're thankful, why we're thankful, and we can stare blankly. Listen to a psalm of David, Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Give praise to God, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who heals you all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." The psalm goes on, but that's enough to show five blessings that David says, "I'm praising God for." He forgives our sins. He heals our diseases. He redeems our lives. He crowns us with love and compassion. He satisfies our desires with good things. Blessings that are taken for granted are blessings that can be forgotten. If you woke up this morning, and I know you did, with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the 6 million people who will not survive this week. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the anguish and agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you're ahead of 500 million people in this world. If you can attend church without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you're more blessed than 3 billion people in this world. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, a place to sleep, you're richer than 75% of the world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, spare change on a dish somewhere, or loose change rattling around in a pocket, you're among the top 8% of the world's most wealthy citizens. Now, what if he had to put a price tag on your blessings? It's interesting to read people trying to say what the human body is worth. You'll find people saying you're worth about $4.50. You can find people saying you're worth tens of thousands of dollars. And they'll give their reasons for all of that. But what if it breaks? What do you have to pay to fix this body? If you have a coronary bypass operation, the surgeon's cost alone can be about $20,000. A heart transplant, $210,000. Gastrointestinal surgery, $15,000. Kidney transplant, $42,000. Liver transplant, $115,000. Bone marrow transplant, $106,000. Lung transplant, $105,000. And that's just the doctor bill. That's just the surgeon's bill. Optional things like the hospital stay and drugs and food, those are all extra. Some years ago, my dad had open heart surgery, and the bill for it was $250,000. And dad didn't recover from the open heart surgery, and we still had to pay the undertaker. If it breaks, but back to the blessings, for which we fail to give thanks sometimes and forget, fail to show thanks. David said, God forgives our sins and then forgets about them. I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. God heals our diseases. It may be a physical healing, but that may not be God's first priority. It may lead, in fact, to a spiritual blessing. God redeems our lives. Redeem means to obtained by paying a price, to buy back. And God has bought us back. The price was His Son. God crowns us with loving kindness. And what better blessing to have the love and favor of Almighty God. But to return to our text, one man said thank you. Let's look at this man and see from his healing what we have to be thankful for. I'm thankful that the leprosy of my soul has been cleansed. None of us is suffering from the skin disease leprosy, but we've all had leprosy of the heart. We were sinners. We were lost. We were on our way to an eternity separated from God. But we cried out like that leper, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And He cleansed us, and He made us spiritually whole. And for that, we should be eternally grateful. I'm thankful, secondly, that God is approachable. Luke says that the lepers stood at a distance. They were forbidden to get close. They couldn't touch anyone. They were separated even from the Son of God. But one Samaritan, an ex-leper, fell in worship. Aren't you glad God is approachable? Anyone can come to God through Jesus Christ. We have access to His very throne. The writer of Hebrews said, "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, with boldness." And I'm thankful, number three, that I'll never be the same again. I think about those 10 lepers, the 9 who didn't come back, the 1 who did. The Bible doesn't say what they did, what the one who came back to give thanks did, what the others did. And I've wondered about their homecoming. They've been away so many years, but now they're whole and a new life stretches out before them. It would not be the same. And I'm so thankful that because of Jesus Christ, I will never be the same. He's given me so much, and most of all, He has given me Himself. I'm a different person because of Him. God satisfies our desires with good things. List the things you have, the good things you have, the blessings you have. God gave you those for your pleasure. Half the world is unhappy because it can't have the things that's making the other half of the world unhappy. Or they got what they wanted and they found out that it wasn't as wonderful as they expected. And they're concentrating on what they don't have instead of on giving thanks for what they do have. A song that we sometimes sing at this time of the year was written in the 1600s by a clergyman by the name of Martin Rinkert. He was a pastor in Saxony, Germany, at a time that history calls the 30 Years' War. And at times, he was the only pastor in the town. And his pastoral duties, this is staggering, his pastoral duties in the year 1637 caused him to officiate at 4,500 funerals, 4,500 burials. And in that terrible situation, in that terrible conflict, he penned the hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God." It's a hymn of unconditional gratitude. "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices." Christian, you may not have everything going your way, but still, you can rejoice. Because we remember how God has provided, and we can see His comforting hand even in times of trouble. Let me suggest for your devotion this week, you turn over to the New Testament to a short little book that's called the Epistle of Joy. It's a short letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. And Paul has been beaten. He's been abandoned by his friends. He's lost contact with his churches. He's in the midst of circumstances that are crushing. And he writes this epistle of joy. He writes to rejoice in the Lord. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." And to be thankful. So many blessings. Such a wonderful God. Such an incredible Christ. Come, you thankful people, come. May we not just on Thursday around a table groaning with food, but every day as believers in Jesus Christ, give thanks. Come, you thankful people, come.